Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Revelation with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 6, ending in verse 21, where we focus on the imminent return of Christ. The return of Christ is a foundational aspect to the book of Revelation and our walks with God. It is both a warning to the unbeliever, but also a promise to the believer that he is coming back again. Now let's join Pastor Dave as we finish the book of Revelation in chapter 1, verse 6.
We'll get there in a moment. But if this book didn't bite the person next to me, this is individual. I'm going to now receive the blessing of the beatitude of keeping the things that are in front of me. That's what's being said here. I mean, the word of God, that's what it does. It's like a sword. It divides. It just does. It divides people who are serious and people who are not. People who are Christian by title, but not Christian by lifestyle. It just divides very naturally. And then John joins here in verse 8, and he says, "And I, John," he's emphatic here. It's the first time that he mentions himself since chapter 1. He testifies here. He gets involved with all of this. He said, "I saw these things and I heard them. And when I heard them and when I saw them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. And the angel said to me," there's two imperatives here, which are commands in verse 9. The first is, don't you ever do that again. Don't worship me. I'm just your fellow servant. I'm just like a brother to the prophets. And look at this. An angel says this. "And even those who keep the sayings of this book." If we're intending to keep the sayings of this book, the holy angel says, "I'm just a fellow servant with all of them." That astounded me. I'm intending to keep the sayings of this book. I can't speak for you. But if you are too, then the angel says that he's on our level. There is a God, and then there is everyone else. Great theology. Amen? So it goes on to say here, the angel, he says, "Don't you ever do that again." And then he gives the second imperative, and he says, "Rather worship God." It's you must worship God. Don't you ever worship me, and only worship God. Two imperatives. And he said unto me in verse 10, opposite of the direction, if you're a student of God's word, opposite of the direction that Daniel got in his prophecy, he says in verse 10 here, "Do not seal the sayings of the prophecy of this book." 600 years before, Daniel said, got told by the Lord through his messenger, "Seal these things up. They're not for your generation." John, the revelator, gets told by the angel, "Don't seal these things up. They're for the last generation. These things are to be preached. These things are to be heralded. These things are to be taught. These things are to be heard in the congregation of God's people. Don't seal these things up. They're for the last generation." Jesus says, "I want them to be heard. I want them to be communicated. I want them to be heralded by the under-shepherds of mine." He says, "Do not seal the sayings of the prophecy of this book up, for," which is obviously a reason word, he gives the reason for it. He says, "The time is at hand." How much more explicit does he need to be? "For the time is at hand. Good will be called evil. Evil will be called good. Men will become lovers of themselves. Men will not have the ability to endure sound doctrine. Men will have itchy ears. There will be apostasy. There will be a falling away. People that you never expected. People that totally have stumbled you in their fall." I mean, I can't tell you how many guys that I came up through the ranks with in the ministry, and the majority, maybe there's only one, quite honestly, that is still standing with me in the role that God has called. All the other guys are gone. They have fallen. They've gotten into drugs. They've gotten into alcohol. They've gotten into adultery. There are comrades of mine from the past that have had multiple divorces at my age. There's been I'm not suggesting that they're apostate necessarily, but man, there's been a falling away. There's been an increase in the things that the Lord said through his word that you know the times and season that you're living in. Jesus is saying to us here this morning, the time is at hand. Let it shake you. Because if it doesn't, look what he goes on to say here. This is sobering, and I'm not going to preach around it. I'm going to preach right through it. Look what it says here in these verses. It says, he that is unjust. Now there's going to be these, please give me your attention. There's going to be four imperatives in verse 11, and they all begin with let. But understand here, they're imperatives of permission, not of command, scholars say. So Jesus now is going to give four imperatives of permission, not of command. Watch this. He that is unjust, he says, let him, imperative, it's got to be this way, but of permission, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, well, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, in the positive here now, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So it's an either or proposition with no neutrality possible in these verses. It's take your stance. You don't need to hear anything more. There's nothing new that any preacher or teacher could get up here and tell you. If you can sit in the teachings of God's word, specifically through the narrative of Revelation, and you want to stay unjust, you want to stay filthy, which is the opposite of the state that Christ shed his blood for you to be in. Christ shed his blood for you to be washed. Christ shed his blood for you to be cleansed, for you to be forgiven, for you to be redeemed. But if you don't want to hear it, if you want to dismiss all of these things, if you just want to believe the world's going to get better again, things are going to go back to normal, you want to maintain that stance that you know more than the scripture, even though he says that these things must happen, you say, I don't believe it. I think things are going to get better, not worse. I think things are going to turn around. They've been saying this for generations. If that's the stance that you want to take in, God told me, first of all, to let you do your thing. There's permission here by God to the heralder, let them be. Don't try to twist anybody's arm into the kingdom. I don't got to do flips and cartwheels and entertain you to try to pursue you to listen into these things. We've unleashed them. You do what you want with them. That is being told to us here, because if this can't move a person, then nothing can. You've been told the very end of days how things are going to roll out. God has kept nothing back from us that would keep us from being profitable in these lives that he's given to us, the lifetime that we're living in. So if it's not going to have its work and you don't want to hear it, then the Lord says, well, then let them stay the way that they are. Which I think is incredibly heavy. It's like there's this divine permission to withdraw from trying to change man. Because we don't bring men to Christ, we bring Christ to men. And then the rest is on him. But we're in a season, I think I can say authoritatively, where God says to you, I'll honor your decision. I don't want him to honor my decision when it's opposing him. That's the beauty of being a Christian. He's given us his spirit. We don't feel right. We got a check, right? When we're outside of his will, there should be a check. We lose our peace. We can feel that we're grieving the Holy Spirit. There's this personal relationship. It doesn't feel good, but at least we know that we're his. It proves to us that we're his. If we are left to do whatever we want to do without feeling bad about it whatsoever and no conviction, that is so dangerous. I don't want to know of any let me be any way outside of the way that he wants me to be. I just want it to be the latter part of the verse. He that is holy, you know what that word means? He that is set apart. He that is set aside to me, Jesus says. He that is dedicated to me, let him stay dedicated. I want to stay there. I want to stay there, right? I'm dedicated to Christ. I want to stay dedicated to Christ. I'm set apart for Christ. I want to stay set apart for Christ. Listen, and that's the positive of the exhortation. I got my hands full right now. I got to preach to everybody. For those of you who are doing it, we got to just keep doing it. There's no secret sauce. We just got to keep doing it. We got to just keep doing it. We got to give Christ every day that he gives to us. We got to give it back to him and walk with him. We just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. There's nothing else out there. There's nowhere for us to go. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. When we finish this book, what are we going to do? We're going to go to another book. We're going to just keep moving through God's word, allowing God's spirit to move through us. Please listen here. Jesus is saying this. In the last season of human history, he that is holy, let him stay holy. He that is righteous, let him stay righteous. Don't get exasperated with it. The enemy continuously wants to tempt us with the idea of it's better out there. If it were better out there, you would have never came in here. So just hang tight. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. So let's continue here to receive what is a beautiful epilogue here and ending to scripture here. What I want to say to you as we move on from these verses is he's saying this. The book isn't sealed, but if you keep it up, your fate is sealed. The book has a purpose, man. It's to make filthy people clean. And I'm so thankful this morning that God has the power to change someone. But only if a person wants to be changed. Verse 10 then ends with imminency. You see it. Verse 10 ends with imminency. The time is at hand. And verse 12 begins with urgency. Behold, I come quickly. And between imminency and urgency is this challenge to people about the way that they live. You see it? I have to wrestle through these things too. I'm coming quickly, he says, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work as he shall be. And we know that our salvation is not by works, but certainly there's a speaking to our service here that we'll be rewarded for at the Bema seat when Christ gives to us these rewards for our faithfulness to him. He says again, this is something that he says, I think it's four times through Revelation in verse 13. He wants us to know, he says, I, in the languages, it's emphatic, it's I and I alone. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. He says, I am the beginning, he says, and I am the end. I am the first and I am the last. So what he's saying to us then is, I'm the primal cause and I'm the final aim or conclusion of everything. So just understand where I'm coming from, says the Lord, as he speaks to us. It brings us pretty low, doesn't it? I mean, when you understand who he is and consider that he's the source of these things that are being spoken to us. Here is the final seventh beatitude in verse 14. He says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and enter through the gates into the city. If you get through the gates, then you got access to the tree. And that's what it's telling us here. Blessed is the one who is faithful to do his commandments. Scholars say that verse is more appropriately translated, blessed are they whose robes are washed, which is us, whose robes are washed. Access into the city gates. Eating of the tree of life. Well, what's outside the city? Well, it tells you right here. Here's your alternative. For without the city, verse 15, are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters. And it's amazing. The last sin in the Bible that God condemns is lying. Genesis 2, Genesis 3, the devil in the form of a serpent comes and he lies to God's image bearers. Here at the close of the Bible, the last sin that Jesus condemns is lying. He says outside of this city, and he's speaking of the lake of fire that is eternal for those who reject Christ. He says this is the option. Outside of that then are dogs. The idea of a dog in scripture, it's not like our house pets that we have, that we love, that we treat better than our children. Dogs is speaking to us. The idea is of a scavenger. A dog, you know, and this Orient is one that was regarded as that would eat anything. Will go from pile to pile. You ever notice that about a dog? If you let him outside, he'll go from pile, he'll eat a pile over here, he'll eat a pile over there. He'll roll in whatever the pile is. That's the idea of a dog. It's speaking of ethically and morally unclean. If you go to the origin of the word, you go to Deuteronomy 23, it's actually speaking more explicitly, though, of not just a general uncleanness. It's speaking of morally impure male prostitutes. Paul uses the word dog in his Philippian letter, chapter 3, when he's speaking about Pharisees and false teachers. He says they're dogs. So these dogs are unrepented in the lake of fire. These whoremongers, that's what the King James says, that's where we get our English word pornos from. It's sexually immoral people. It's anyone who is ongoingly practicing sexual activity outside of marriage. I'm just heralding to you his heart. It's not any easier for me than it is for you to swallow these things. I just want to finish strong and give it to you tried and true. Because I could see some of your faces and I'm thinking that you're thinking, what a prude. I'm not a prude. I'm heralding God's word. This is the heart of Jesus. He's fairly warning. No one in the hearing of my voice will be able to stand before the throne and say, I had no clue. This is not about conjecture. This is not let's take a league vote. Let's weigh in on these things. Let's see if these things are antiquated, if they become Victorian. That's your personal opinion, and all your personal opinion is your personal preference. This is the word of the Lord. It abides forever, and he esteems it above his name. He says still in 2021, on the brink of 2022, he says still this is the case. Whoremongers that are unrepentant, they're not there. They're outside of the city. He goes on to say in this verse very clearly, murderers, you know what that is, idolaters, master passion, anything other than Jesus. He just brought the house down with that. And liars. Just as it is, the enemy has been a liar since the beginning of him entering into creation and messing with the Lord's image bearers. And he's speaking here of people who pursue that lifestyle of lying. And you know what's amazing? You can work through each of these sins and you can say this. Okay, we'll begin with adulterers. All adulterers, while they're in adultery, are liars. Do you know that? I mean, you can start to connect these things because in order to successfully commit adultery, you've got to tell a series of lies. And the first person you tell the lies to is yourself. You tell lies to yourself and then to everyone else, and everyone else after yourself becomes, in your mind, lesser lies. And that's how you're successful in the endeavor. Same with drugs. Same with idolatry, same with any other sin that you can come up with, man. In order for you to habitually practice a sin, lying has to be intermingled. Now, I want to be very clear here because I want to represent Jesus as perfectly as a fallen man can. The issue in front of us in these verses is that these are settled characteristics of the lives from which they were never delivered, even though the grace of God made it possible that they could experience deliverance. These are those who have just said, I'm going to stay in this lifestyle. It's not those who have committed this sin for a season or were once these things. Because as we're going to see on Wednesday night's movement through Corinthians, Paul says we were all once these things, but God. So I just don't want there to be any condemnation or anyone to think I'm coming down with a heavy hand and not incorporating grace. This is just for people who knowingly, ongoingly stay in this place after the light has been shined on their darkness. We all clear? Good. I just don't want to misrepresent Jesus and his grace. I don't ever want to be erring on just truth. I want grace and truth. So then we close out here with this. I, Jesus, after he says these things, it's all one chunk of scriptures. That's why we've kept it together here. But you could break apart almost every verse or two into a sermon series. He says here, I, Jesus, it's the only time in the Bible that you have that, so you should definitely lean in. I, Jesus, it's emphatic, I, Jesus, I have sent my angel to testify unto you, that's plural, it's yous guys. I have sent my angel to testify unto all of you these things, that's the book of Revelation, in the churches. First time we got the name church since Revelation chapter 3. I am, he says, the root and the fruit of David. I am the Messiah. I am the promised one. I am the anointed one. I am the one who has taken away the sins of the world. And then he says, for the only instance of scripture where it appears, and I am the bright and morning star. I'm the representation of a new day. That's what it's speaking to us here. I, Jesus, he uses his earthly name. He speaks it in an emphatic expression. I, Jesus, he says, I am the bright and morning star. The star that comes up first, Venus, the brightest star, the directing star, the star that all the travelers of the ancient Orient and all the mariners and all the shepherds would look to understand that the day is getting ready to break. You could see the bright star coming up in the morning. And that's what Jesus says of himself. I'm the bright and morning star. The day is about to break. That's what he's saying. He saved it for right here. You know, the only other time that a similar phrase like this shows up, this is interesting, is in Isaiah 14 in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament, when Lucifer, in the description of his fall, is called not the morning star, but the son of morning. And the son of morning from Isaiah 14, he promises to dogs, he promises to idolaters and murderers and sorcerers and liars, he promises them as the son of morning a new day. If you bow down and worship me, like he said to Jesus. But this morning star, he saves the best wine for last. And he can come through on his promises. He's not just a promise maker, he's a promise keeper. The enemy of our souls is a promise maker, but he can't come through. Choose wisely which morning star, son of morning, that you bow down to. Because one can deliver and one can't. Now, listen, if I didn't keep expounding verse on verse and we were just reading this in flow, and we were there somehow with John to be able to behold these things, we would get in on this. Because look at verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Because you can't separate the Spirit and the bride. They're one. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. It's imperative. It's you got to come, Lord. And let him that heareth, he's hearing. Jesus speaks precise words, and precise words makes us think precise thoughts. Good info produces good fruit. So the person that's hearing these precise words that he's being delivered to speak, the response then is you got to come.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com. to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.